If the Tyrannosaur had broken through, there was nothing he could have done to save them. The river was so narrow that it was hardly wider than the raft. It was like being in a tunnel. The rubber gunwales often scraped on the mud as the boat was pulled along by the swift current. He glanced at his watch. Almost 9. The raft continued downstream.
"Hey," Lex said. "Listen."
He heard snarling, interspersed by a repeated hooting cry. The cries were coming from beyond a curve farther downriver. He listened and heard the hooting again.
"What is it?"
Lex said. "I don't know," Grant said, "but there's more than one of them." He paddled the boat to the opposite bank, grabbed a branch to stop the raft. The snarling was repeated, then more hooting.
"It sounds like a bunch of owls," Tim said.
Malcolm groaned.
"Isn't it time for more morphine yet?"
"Not yet,"
Ellie said. Malcolm sighed.
"How much water have we got here?"
"I don't know. There's plenty of running water from the tap."
"No, I mean, how much stored? Any?"
Ellie shrugged.
"None."
"Go into the rooms on this floor," Malcolm said, "and fill the bathtubs with water."
Ellie frowned.
"Also," Malcolm said, "have we got any walkie-talkies? Flashlights? Matches? Sterno stoves? Things like that?"
"I'll look around." "You planning for an earthquake?"
"Something like that," Malcolm said. "Malcolm effect implies catastrophic changes."
"But Arnold says all the systems are working perfectly."
"That's when it happens," Malcolm said.
Ellie said,
"You don't think much of Arnold, do you?"
"He's all right. He's an engineer. Wu's the same. They're both technicians. They don't have intelligence. They have what I call thin intelligence. They see the immediate situation. They think narrowly, and they call it being focused. They don't see the surround. They don't see the consequences. That's how you get an island like this, from thin intelligent thinking. Because you cannot make an animal and not expect it to act alive, to be unpredictable, to escape. But they don't see that."
"Don't you think it's just human nature?" Ellie said.
"God, no," Malcolm said. "That's like saying scrambled eggs and bacon for breakfast is human nature. It's nothing of the sort. It's uniquely Western training. And much of the rest of the world is nauseated by the thought of it."
He winced in pain.
"Oh, the morphine's making me philosophical.
You want some water?"
"No. I'll tell you the problem with engineers and scientists. Scientists have an elaborate line of bullshit about how they are seeking to know the truth about nature, which is true, but that's not what drives them. Nobody is driven by abstractions like seeking truth. Scientists are actually preoccupied with accomplishment. So they are focused on whether they can do something. They never stop to ask if they should do something. They conveniently define such considerations as pointless. If they don't do it, someone else will. Discovery, they believe, is inevitable, so they just try to do it first. That's the game in science. Even pure scientific discovery is an aggressive, penetrative act. It takes big equipment, and it literally changes the world afterward. Particle accelerators scar the land and leave radioactive byproducts. Astronauts leave trash on the moon. There's always some proof that scientists were there, making their discoveries. Discovery is always a rape of the natural world, always. The scientists want it that way. They have to stick their instruments in, they have to leave their mark. They can't just watch. They can't just appreciate. They can't just fit into the natural order. They have to make something unnatural happen. That is the scientist's job. And now we have whole societies that try to be scientific."
He sighed and sank back.